Hi, I'm Emily.
And I'm Stephen.
And this is In a Barbie World,
the podcast where we look at every Barbie movie from 1987 to the present day.
From fairy tales to literary classics.
From Mariposa to Mermaidia.
It's time to get unboxed.
Readjust your lippy.
Rock the ball gown.
And let's get our Barbie on.
Barbie in a Mermaid Tale 2.
The only Barbie movie with a 2 at the end?
Yeah.
But not like, the only sequel.
Yeah, obviously. Not our first sequel, but definitely our first, like, 2 thing. And previous sequels have been great, really.
I think the first, the number 2s have not been number 2s. They've been quite good, haven't they?
Yeah.
I think some of the at least one of the third one, the Mermaidia 3 or whatever it was, that wasn't very good. But
it was a bit disappointing. But Mermaidia itself, the second Fairytopia, was
that's it. Yes.
Still number 4.
Indeed. And I do remember that you really didn't like the first one in this series.
Barbie and a Mermaid Tale was a piece of shit. It was so bad. I hated it so much. I literally can't even... everything about it, I found it so stupid and hated it.
Yeah. So I was intrigued how you would feel about this one. It's always about how you react. That's my first thought. It's never how did I like this movie. I wonder what Emily's thinking right now.
Yeah. Emily bloody loved it. Emily was a return to form. We got a return to our bae. She's back voicing Barbie. We've got a return to the jokes and the like comic timing that we love. We've got good lines. We've got good characters. We've got beautiful animation. We got, it's fucking gay. It's so gay. Like, I really loved this. How did you feel about it?
So, I'm a bit behind the scenes here. We haven't recorded for a little while. So I had watched this about 3 months ago. And then I watched it again. Well, at lunchtime today. And then I went back to look at my letterbox reviews because I was thinking, I really did enjoy this.
Okay.
With one big proviso where every 5 minutes I was saying, that's not how this works.
But in this mermaid movie.
In this mermaid, that's not how surfing works. That's not how thrones work. That's not, there's just loads of things in it were bugging me. But I'm so happy because I remember when I first watched it, I was really quite buzzed and I got all these things. I'd like, this is so much better than the first one. Even the recap of the first movie, which happens in the first moment, is better than the original movie. And I
literally wrote that exact same note. I was like, the recap is better than the entire first movie.
And I wasn't as down on the first movie as you were. I thought it was all right. I just thought it was routine because it was the whole Barbie does a quest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not particularly well, and it was like subpar Shark Tale sort of, I don't know.
Oh, it was wannabe Shark Tale, and Shark Tale is bad, so why would you want to be that? Whereas this movie doesn't engage in any of the, like, mess that made the first movie so bad. The reason I hate the first movie so much was this, like, faux celebrity underwater world. Like, we don't have any of that. We're almost back to, like, almost phase one territory of, like just, like, classic fairy tale style storytelling of, like, rituals and, like, don't get me wrong, nothing we saw today was anything new, but it was a return to form that I was really pleased to witness because the last episode we did, the Christmas one, was shit, and that was doing new stuff, and I hated it. Whereas we're back to, like, Barbie is a character, and the character is fun, and she's got her, like, gay lover and enemies to lovers trope, and we're mermaids. We've got big animals with eyelashes, but, like, none of them are, like, that creepy. So it was just really fun to return back to the Barbie movies that I love. Fucking hell, the opening credit sequence, there's, like, a cold open, and then she, like, dives under the water, and she's like, let's go see mom. And the music kicks in and it's this like chanting, like in Scooby-Doo, the live action movie, when they're doing the ritual and they do that like, it's like that as an undercurrent. And then the like song comes in over the top and it's like, we're diving under the waves. And I was just like, yeah. So like, yeah, it was just really great stuff. Really great stuff.
You said that in full West Coast mode. No, it is though. It's they took the core of the last, you know, I thought the bad guy, the bad girl, the evil queen was quite enjoyed her last one, so I was glad to see her back. I wasn't so happy to see the sparkly pink dolphin, which just has one scene of incredible orcs, but okay.
Limited screen time for Sparkly Pig Dolphin, which was a good thing.
Yeah.
And what it did have was some really good underwater film puns. At one point she goes, do you want to watch a movie? How about Karate Squid?
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Like, yeah.
Oh,
you're
no.
You're allowed to stay.
Starfish Wars. Yeah, I did notice that. That's the scene after it. Like, oh. But I get what they're trying to do. I've never been a fan of the... I don't understand why the seal doesn't talk and why it's still a baby, but
I know. But it's so cute that like
yeah.
I just forgive
but that's
it.
The thing. That's the thing. That's just one of those. That's not how stuff works. And I'm bringing. All throughout this movie, I'm bringing this real world thing. And what I've got to accept is, mate, Stephen, you're watching a film where people are turning into mermaids. That's
so like.
Nothing more. You don't need to work out any more. And there's some stuff which doesn't tally up with the first movie. But do you know what? We can
Thank
delete.
God.
We can delete the first movie.
Exactly.
Because we've got the 1 minute rundown of what happened.
Exactly.
Previously, and that's enough. That's got all the bits that we need in it.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter that where were all these other people. When she was taking over the world last time.
Yeah, who cares? I don't care. Like, I truly don't care because, you know, we had to suffer last time. Did she have to go to a, like, store and, like, prick her tail out of a rack?
Which was a, you know, which was a rip-off from the whole, you know, which was done perfectly in the, those last bunch of, what are they called? The fashion fairy tale. His friend movies, you know, they did go buy their wings from a store, but that involved characters that were interesting and
it worked,
add something to the story. And where this was, there's no reason for any of them to buy tails. They are mermaids. Yeah. That was the problem. Why would there be a functioning store? Now,
it wanted so bad to be like mid-2000s, and it really was. Whereas we're now in like 2012, and it's like. We're cool just being a movie about mermaids. We don't have to force any contemporary weird things to try and get teenagers on board.
No, it uses this... It still includes the great things about that movie. Brake has a little part in it. I think he was quite good in the first movie, you know, as a...
So good.
Cool granddaddy beach bum type. I like...
Like surfer granddad.
Yeah. Her other two friends are in it and play... as little a role in this film as they did in the first one.
I would argue against that point. I would say that in the first movie, they were so redundant and unnecessary and stupid and pointless. In this movie, they're allowed into the plot. Paul Fallon, we never get to see her surf, even though she keeps coming third in all of these competitions. But the other one, Hadley she's a major part of the plot. And
actually,
she's like well-written and like funny and an interesting character. Like she's got quirks and she's quotable if you're like seven and she's they're both involved throughout the movie.
You're right, I was going to walk back because Hadley especially is the person that sort of brings the two plots together really. The onshore some onshore rivalry between her name is still stupid. Malenia, whatever her name is.
Malia Summer. Malia. Who's definitely not a mermaid.
And what's the guy with the Australian girl? What's she called? Oh my God, I've watched it twice
Kylie,
in 2 days.
Isn't she
Kylie? Yeah, of course it's Kylie. It's the most Australian name ever.
But yeah, there's like an American person doing an Australian accent, I think, because initially it was like, I was like, what the hell accent is that? It was like almost like John Travolta in Hairspray, like a Baltimore accent. I was like, what is happening? And then she was like, Dan, Amanda, that's my turf. You're gonna, and like, I can do an Australian accent, but I'm not doing one because they weren't doing one.
I did say to you, I'm expecting accents in this review because I'd obviously watched it already. Yeah, I think it is a borderline stereotype Australian.
Yeah.
But they don't use the line. I was, you know, we were all hoping for them to pop a shrimp on the Barbie.
And oh my god!
Never said it once, which was very disappointing.
Half the movie takes place in Australia, for God's sake! Come on.
Well, also, a lot of the movie takes place in New Zealand, which is actually nowhere fucking near Australia if you're swimming.
That's okay. I love that they could just pop over to New Zealand to save the world, like, yeah, for 5 minutes and then return to Australia to finish the competition.
I mean, they must be, even if they were the fastest, jet planes take a couple of hours, right? And they go at 700 miles an hour. But, I get where they, and, you know, these are the things that both wind me up, but actually the film is so charming that I was letting them pass, right?
This is the thing, that's always the test with you. Is it charming enough that you overlook your professorness? And sometimes that's not been the case, and the bugbears have overbeared the bugs.
Yeah, for sure, you know, because I'm here appreciating there's amount of, it's not even suspension of disbelief, right? There's an amount of silliness. It's pure fantasy. But I'm not a 7-year-old girl, right?
Yes.
I'm all right with that. But that sometimes these movies just blow me away and just hasn't bothered me at all. Sometimes it's like, Jesus God, this is winding me up. Because and this one has lots of those wind up points. But actually, I was also surprised, like, so another thing is when I watched it again yesterday, it's a film of two halves. The main plot doesn't start halfway through the movie. And actually I thought, I'm halfway through it and I've actually enjoyed the preamble. It hasn't just jumped us into something. And so these sort of things, the way it's just slightly structured slightly differently. The way that there is stuff in this film that, you know, characters and things which are introduced and removed quite quickly, like the Justice League of Ambassadors or whatever they were.
That, I loved them.
But
I would have wanted all of those dolls as well.
Well, and we know, we've talked about before, this is a commercial enterprise.
Yeah.
So it is about selling dolls. But actually, I wrote down Justice League of Ambassadors because I want to see more of them. And that's another key thing I found in some of these films is, do I give a shit about any of the tertiary, let alone the secondary characters?
Yeah.
And actually, I kind of did.
Yeah, you know,
it's not deep, but they're there.
This is the thing. They're very good at just getting a very attractive looking character, giving them a fun name and a fun aesthetic, and then pinning like a couple of quirky character traits on them and then making them die on those hills. And it's so shallow that it works so well in these movies, and they're so good as vehicles. I can remember every single member of the Justice League, and a 7-year-old girl could as well. And you're going to be, because they literally are the Justice League, because what? The Justice League are like Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, The Flash, and Aquaman.
You've got
the pretty one, the fast one, the confident one, and they all represent like different parts of the different oceans. They've come from the different oceans. And then you get to see what their fear is, which hammers in what their trait is, and they all look completely different, even though so kind of the same at the same time. And
there is one that looks just like Barbie, and I got a bit confused. Like, but isn't she still swimming there, and she's not a mermaid again? And I didn't mind. I really didn't mind, because probably, unlike Mermaidia 2, whatever it was called, where they had a similar idea. It wasn't Mermaidia, it's Ferritopia 3, whatever Ferritopia 3 was. Do you remember that awful one where there were all those other types of fairies that we'd never heard of before? And it was all stretched out over the whole thing, and they had very strong...
It was time-wasty.
Yeah, whereas this, they're only in it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And they have a whole, you know, and they're fine, and they have a bit of their own agency as well. So they do get, you know, once Malia actually saves them, they actually do help again. You know, they're not pathetic or anything like that.
Okay.
I mean, some of their fears are a bit rubbish.
But also I'm like, well, I was thinking about it because I was going to be like, oh, that's going to be a fun question. What would your nightmare be? What nightmare would come true for you? Like very sort of almost season one of Buffy. And then I was like, everyone I love is dead. That would be my nightmare. And then that would just come true. And I'd be like, well, this fucking sucks. So it's kind of good that their nightmare is like, I'm not fast anymore. And you're like, okay, good. I don't want to see floating corpses.
Well, one of them couldn't swim anymore. The queen can't swim anymore, which was a bit weird. Like,
yeah.
But that...
I'll allow it.
Well, let's go down that, right? Because that's one of the things that has confused me. Because I think what this film suggests, and I couldn't remember if it was suggested in the first film, but would make sense, right? So remember, she's got a daughter who's half human, half mermaid, right? Which means that she has bumped uglies with a human being, right? But she's got this thing, which there's a practical element to that, which isn't really a place for a Barbie movie, but that's where my mind goes. Like, how did that happen? But she's suggesting that she also used to have legs because she said that when she went on the throne, so apparently there's this big ceremony that every year or every so often they have to go on so that the royal family, the queen, gets empowered with the ability to make this stupid stuff, which is the that keeps the oceans going, which was a plot point of the last one. But the suggestion is that last time she was so overwhelmed that she could no longer get her legs back.
So
I'm thinking that means she is also half human and half mer, because that she used to have legs. And that would explain how she's had a baby with Thingy's son, I guess. What's his name? Son.
Mr. Not appearing in the film.
Ever. But yeah, but I was thinking, was that mentioned before? Or it was just weird, just a weird thing to bring back.
Yeah,
because that's her fear. Her fear is that she can't, that her tail doesn't work anymore and that she'll have legs again or something like that. It's,
Her tail becomes heavy and she can't swim. Her sister Erin, the villain of the piece, is, her fear is that she has legs. And then she gets them at the end because they do a classic Medusa trick. Like, thank God for Medusa. Like, R.I.P. Medusa, you were, treated so unfairly. but your, death is so iconic because it's just used in, every Barbie movie where it's just like, oh, back at you.
Let's stick a mirror in the way. But I was... That was just... That's just... But again, these things were bugging me. But actually, I thought, what they're doing is they're building on the old movie. It's a classic sequel problem, right? You're making a sequel to a movie that was never meant to have a sequel.
Yes.
So what you have to do, you have to try and expand that canon and say, actually, well, last time we didn't mention this, but...
Yeah. Turns out...
Actually, Oceana, whatever it's called. It can't be called Oceana because there's already... Again, that was bugging me because I think... There's already somewhere called Oceana. But I think it's called Oceana, but not Oceania. I think it doesn't matter. But the fact there's these other people from the other oceans and there's, you're just thinking there's this whole bunch of people who could have been helping against Eris last time. I just decided it was all right in the end because I remembered what I was watching.
Yeah.
If this had been a Marvel movie, I think we'd have boycotted it and just red tomato bombed it. Beside it's ridiculous. It has no relation to the last five movies.
No continuity.
But...
No, I loved it. I loved that they were able... I was writing my notes being like, this is like perfect sequel territory where they take the original concept, they drop what didn't work, they build upon what did, they expand on the world and the characters. We get to hang out with them more. The ritual, the changing of tide ceremony that happens in the deep waters of New Zealand is so fantastic and also hilarious here in England on the eve of the King's coronation. talking about how the royal family of mermaids has to go to New Zealand. They have to swim to New Zealand from the waters of America in order to sit on a throne and, like, reconfirm their allegiance and their ruling over the merfolk. And it's just like, yeah, let's go do an additional coronation in our colonial waters, like, remind everyone who's boss.
Or you could view it like old people having to retake their driving test. That's how I'd do it. You know, don't want to do it every year, but we should just make sure they're legitimately okay to do it. The throne bugged me because obviously they're mer people. They live underwater. They don't have buttocks to sit on or legs. So the throne is just a backboard with armrests that they don't need. And then I just thought, again, why are you letting this bother you, Stephen? It doesn't matter. because you're accepting fucking people can change between mermaid and not mermaid.
That pink dolphin is talking to you, Mark.
Pink sparkly dolphin. and that little bloody seal is of any value at all when they're trying to pull the girl out of the whirlpool.
I did
kind of like, so I think one of the problems with the first film is that there was this disconnect where some sea creatures were sea creatures and some were amorphopized sea creatures, and I didn't really understand why they both existed at the same time. Why don't they all talk?
Yeah,
why do only some fish talk? And they just said, you know what, we're only going to have amorphopized sea creatures. So we've got like this fish. Was the fish in the last one?
The fish was not in the last one. He's fantastic. He's a classic villain's sidekick, like a very posh British, like he looks like Gil from Finding Nemo. Even the animation looks the same. And he's voiced with this, as I say, like this posh British evil accent. And he's called Alistair. And he's like very funny. Look, Barbie movies are so good at this. I feel like they let the actors...
He's very arch, isn't he? Is that the word? Very arch.
Very, very, very sort of like muttering to himself, being like, oh, all right then, well, like very Hank Azaria and Mystery Men type vibes. Like, just really star. Like classic Barbie.
He remind me of, and this is going to date me, and you might not understand the reference, but he reminds me of Higgins from the original, what's that show? Magnum P.I. I don't know if you remember Tom Selleck in Magnum P.I., but there was a British guy, Higgins, who was like, I was never too sure if he was like a butler or a rich person, but he had that kind of British, you know, he should be in Bridge Over the River Kwai, but not. And that's what the fish reminded me of, because he's got the same moustache. And again, a fish having a moustache when he doesn't even have a fucking nose... Or any other hair.
He had like a villain's pencil moustache, like a British villain's pencil moustache.
Or like John
Waters.
You've lost
me in all of those references, I'm afraid. Yes, yeah. John Waters moustache. Very much so.
But he reminds, if anyone of my age remembers Higgins from Magnum P.I., that's who he is.
Imagine it, because I feel like it's ripped down into the zeitgeist enough that it's sort of a trope.
Absolutely. And it's a thing. Right, it's an absolute trope, that British, that middle-aged British guy with a moustache that vaguely looks down on the Americans or the Australians or whoever it is, thinking, oh, God, things were so much better under the Empire, don't you know?
Yes, yeah, and the put-upon male servant of the female villain, it's giving Timothy Spall an Enchanted, it's like that kind of territory, and he was just... fantastic. His entrance was brilliant. So he introduces himself to Kylie, the Australian, who's trying to beat Malia at the surf meet because she fucking hates Barbie, because we're back in the territory where everyone's like, oh, Malia, we love you. Like, we wanna just like give you all the attention. And she's like, I'm working my butt off being a really good surfer, and none of you are paying me attention, and I fucking hate Malia. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are going to be making out during the credit sequence, because they never show it, but like, I know that you will be, because this is enemies to lovers, classic.
They have a callback to another joke, which they slightly overdo in the credit at the end of the credits, which is, I think, it's the first time we've had a post-credit, actually.
Stick around until the post credits.
Ah, so you know there's this joke where Hadley is eating, is addicted to pickled beetroot and poi.
Yeah. Right?
Which, by the way, is not an Australian delicacy. For one, poi comes from Hawaii.
I was going to say, isn't it Hawaiian?
Yeah. So there's this sort of joke which goes on a little bit too far during the film, but that's why. It doesn't matter what it is. Watch the movie. At the end of the credits, there's a 10-second thing where... Do you remember she's talking... She goes back up to the man serving it in the film, and she says, can I have another bowl? And he says, mate, I'm swimming in the stuff. He goes, as much as you like.
Yep.
Well, they go back to those two, and they do, like, a little advert for it and saying all the other things it's good for, like stripping paint and... And it's quite... It's a 5-10-second thing right at the end of the credits. And I wouldn't have spotted it.
I'm going to go watch that.
I wouldn't have spotted it normally, but I had to find a copy of it. Because in an update of Stephen's DVD collection, right? This is another one that wouldn't play, so I had to go and download it from somewhere, which is why I watched it all to the end. But I have got a... what came free with it, which is I've got about 500 little elastic hairbands which came free with it, which was still in the DVD case. I assume they've all perished over the last 11 years.
God, that's what I really thought you were going to tell me, that you had like a cuddly Zuma the dolphin. And I was to get so jealous.
I've got a packet of, if I had a cuddly Zuma, I'd give it to you. But no, I've got 500 hairbands that I really don't want to get out, because I know what happens to rubber over, you know, that elastic stuff over just a couple of years. It just goes hard and turns to dust.
Rubber is like... dust, yeah. But, oh my god, I love
that. But yes, they do have a little callback. Because again, it's what you were saying earlier about Hadley actually does have quite a lot of lines, and much more than she did in the first film. And
yeah,
it's
she's like a fully fledged character. And even Fallon, like, I can tell you about Fallon. If I had to do a charade or like a game and I had to describe Fallon, I could. There's just, she's just a bit underplayed compared to Hadley, which is
the eternal third placer. That's her character trait. Which, to be fair, I think is pretty much what happened to her in the first film.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and there's, what's the other thing that bugged me? Oh, when the Queen brings out a seashell. Now, the joke is it enables you to see a memory. So it's like an S-E-E shell. But seashells are the shells of animals that live under the sea. Why has that animal been allowed to be turned into some kind of technological device, but no other animal has? And
why do they wear them for bras?
Absolutely! None of this. And again, stop it, Stephen. It doesn't matter. Because what it enabled us to do was, it enabled us to see a little bit of exposition about what this ceremony.
Yeah, it was a fun little technological flashback.
The fact this ceremony didn't exist in the last film, and what that says to me is that Eris could have taken part in that ceremony, had the ability to produce sea sperm or whatever it is that they're creating.
It is sea sperm.
It is effectively that, isn't it? But they call it something else, don't they?
Marilia? Yeah, that's it. What's the Star Wars thing? Midichlorians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because, if you remember, that was the reason she'd never... Because she couldn't create it. That's why her brain was a bit flawed and everything was dying. But you thought, well, she could have just gone to New Zealand and take... She is royal.
Yeah.
There didn't seem to be any reason that... Anyway. Doesn't matter, Stephen, because they're fixing it, and it's a bit like Thor Ragnarok, where I can live without the first two Thor movies. In fact, I can live without the fourth one, and Thor Ragnarok is just perfect in and of itself. That's how I feel about this one.
Completely. It's so good. It takes the necklace, which just seems like a cheap device at the end of the last movie, where it's like, hey Barbie, and now if you wear this necklace you can turn into a mermaid and a human whatever you want. And they turn it into a massive plot point of this movie, where Kylie steals it because she's suddenly introduced to this fish who, like, it's just so good. It's just it's not Citizen Kane, but it's like the fish is introduced and he's like, hey, Kylie, go and get this necklace and we'll teach you how to be a better surfer than Barbie. And she's like, okay. And like the getting of the necklace is a fun, enjoyable scene. And then she has it and then she turns into a mermaid and we get to live that with her. So we have that moment again where a human turns into a mermaid and it's really fun and refreshing. And then we go down and we're introduced to our villain again, but we're doing it via another main character. And it's just really neat, efficient storytelling that's also really entertaining. And she has those meta moments of like, oh my God, a talking fish, like what the hell? But it's not tired and it's not cringy. It's just realistic the fish, enough.
The fish does call it out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Says, I'm not crazy. You're the one talking to a fish. And she goes, yeah, fair play, mate. That's kind of funny. I will. Okay, so I'm going to do more Stephen-y things on this now. Okay. Good thing. It is called out that Merlia's skills at surfing are effectively enhanced by her background.
She's kind of cheating because she's technically a mermaid.
And the fish does call it out. And to be fair, Kylie doesn't really bring it up. But the movie is wise enough to say, you know what, we understand that. So at the end, I don't really want to spoil it, but Malia doesn't win everything at the end.
Yeah, she does some ocean semen instead.
She does some yeah, that's, God, this is, you're going to have to put an E on this, aren't you? Explicit version of this podcast.
I have to put an E on all of them because I say fuck in every single episode.
Well, if you don't, I do. So yeah, true. But yes, there is that. So I'm giving that a thumbs up because that bugged me at the end of the last film, to be honest with you, that, hang on a minute, she's enhanced.
Yeah, she's like the chosen one. Whereas here, like, this is the thing, like, it's, yeah, it's shallow, yeah, it's Barbie movie, but everybody's learning lessons. We're growing, we're changing, we're enemies to lovers. Barbie has chemistry with every single woman that she comes across. Like, I thought I was super into the Mermaidia and gay love line, storyline. But it's even better here.
Mate, you're not the only one. My other thing I like to do is go on Letterboxd and look at other reviews. and the amount of gay support, love for, and shipping for Kylie and Malia is huge.
It's like a season of Bridgerton. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Okay, so I'm now going to force you into a defensive position now for the movie.
Well,
because I do feel that Kylie is a cowbag, right? She's a bitch to start with. Potentially understandable because she's a high-performing sportswoman, remember? And does do a terrible thing. And never really suffers the consequences. She realises very quickly she's done a bad thing and does her best to put it right. But
at no point, she doesn't do the bad thing on purpose. Yeah, I'll wait.
I don't think there's any punishment she goes through other than for 30 seconds she can't breathe.
See? It's her head. She has a severe concussion. It may not be within the realm of the movie that she has a severe concussion, but oh my God, when she's throwing herself in front of Barbie countless times, in front of these very scary eels that we need to talk about, she is then thrown against the stone walls of the palace, and there is a loud thud as she thwacks her skull against the brickwork and sinks to the floor. I literally said out loud, like, she has served her punishment for the accidental coercion of stealing the necklace, which she kind of felt bad about as she was doing it anyway, as told through facial expressions. As she was then going up to, it's very Disney, it's very like take my hand, as she was going up to the villain, she turns around at the last minute and is like, actually, you know what? I don't need special tricks to be Barbie. I just want to go home. But then is thrown into the whirlpool. She immediately helps Malia out of the whirlpool when she helps her out. So she is a good person through and through. She's a competitive sportswoman. She is understandably frustrated when she literally comes first. The press and media only want to deal with Barbie. Like, and we've seen that before. We've seen it with our other favourite enemies to lovers bitch character, who again is just living in Barbie's shadow the whole time. It must suck. You've literally achieved the highest point of your career and no one wants to talk to you. Barbie's getting like sponsorship deals in front of you and you just got the gold. and it's meaningless to the press. Like, that's annoying. So she steals a necklace under Fish's commands, immediately regrets it, suffers concussion, can't breathe underwater, has to deal with the fact that mermaids exist.
You're very... I hope I do you a wrong sometimes, Emily, because you're going to have to forgive me very quickly. No, it's fine. I think part of it is because that whole thing doesn't... It's an hour... This film's 72 minutes long, and that whole getting Kylie underwater doesn't happen until over half an hour into the movie.
Yeah.
So there isn't a lot of time to do it. I did feel that's not the most egregious thing. All right.
Is it?
The most egregious thing, which I hope you are going to back me up on this, is that turns out Barbie makes a great sacrifice at the end of the movie that is immediately undercut by actually not having, turns out not having been a sacrifice at all.
Yeah.
And I think that everything else. Yeah, I'll just believe what you say and I'll let lots of stuff go. But I think that stops the second time around, that stopped that stopped its rewatchability, because you know that the sacrifice that she makes won't be a sacrifice at all in not very long.
Again, I disagree.
Defend. Please defend.
I will, because he did make a sacrifice. The sacrifice was that she willingly and knowingly sat on the throne in place of her mother to perform the ritual in order to save the ocean and stop Eris from winning, knowing that she would, because her mum told her, we're going off mum's information here, mum was like, if you do this, you will become a mermaid forever. Willingly does that. She sacrifices herself, she willingly becomes a mermaid forever. But what we are forgetting is that it's not that you'll become a mermaid forever. The detail is, you will become your fully realized self. Mum's fully realized self was a mermaid. Malia's fully realized self is half mermaid, half human. So now all she can do is switch between the two without the need of a necklace. And that is fully canon and fully justified. And I will allow it with bells on, because that was always the setup. The setup was always you will become your fully realized self. And Mum assumed that that would mean that she would just become a full mermaid, but actually it's who you are as a person, and you can have the best of both worlds because that's who you are in your heart. And so go, hun, go compete in your surfing competition. When we get to the surfing competition anyway, we realize we can make sea cum, so we like forego it, and we'll probably just continue to surf and hang out with our human friends as and when, without the pressures of surfing competitions, and be able to help running the kingdom as and when without the pressure of the responsibility of the crown for now until Mummy Dearest dies. So it's not that her sacrifice was meaningless. It's not like Ariel being given legs by Daddy at the end of the Disney film. It's you would become your fully realized self. Your fully realized self was always going to be half human, half mermaid, and now you can just do it without the help of a necklace, which means that Kylie gets to have a necklace, which means that they can, girlfriend and girlfriend can become mermaids together and go on dates underwater. Because there are no men in this movie. There's granddad.
Apart from the granddad
who has like
and the fish.
1 minute's worth of line.
There's
like beetroot man and then like the evil fish. That's it for men.
Yeah. There is no male mermen. There are no males in the royal family.
Uh-uh.
At all. That's very interesting. All right, I'm going to let you off on that. I'm not going to let you off. That's not the right phrase. I'm going to take your... I still think in terms of dramatics, it undercuts it.
If this
it,
was
but
a movie
think,
for adults, it would undercut it. But it's a movie for seven-year-old girls to sell
but
toys.
But I think you've given me a justification. So whilst dramatically, I think it's a bit naff. I think justification-wise, I think I get it, right?
Yeah.
One other thing, and you won't be aware of this, but Kylie says when she's sort of... when the adventure's over, she says something along the lines of, it feels good to be part of something bigger than yourself, right? And she says that because that's her justification for that she feels good. She's not so worried about winning the competition. It's the fact that she's done this thing. And
the ocean that she loves.
But Kylie says it, right? And at the very end of the movie, at the end of the credits, there's a quote and it says, "Barbie, it feels good to be part of something bigger than yourself." And Barbie didn't say it. Kylie said it. And that has bugged me.
Did it say Barbie or did it say Malia?
No, it says Barbie.
Right.
And are we saying is Kylie just Barbie, is she?
Kylie is a Barbie, is my justification for this. Now I know. Are we going into
film universe things now then?
This is the thing, like, unfortunately, they're all Barbies, but Barbie is a Barbie. I don't know how to make this into a metaphor or an example. I can't think of anything that works in this context, but they're all Barbies, but Barbie is the Barbie. Hades is the underworld, but Hades is the god that rules Hades. They're all Barbies, but Barbie is Barbie. So Kylie is a Barbie, but okay. Barbie is Barbie.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's not
in this episode.
That's not. We've already had an Inception one. I'm going to my favourite website, BarbieMoviesFandom.com, to see if there was anything else for us. You know, I know we do love they use this character model again. And there isn't a lot. There's some goofs, more than ever. One thing I hadn't spotted in that blooper, outtake, which is, like I say, it's part of the movie, not part of extra features, is that the Nutcracker is lying inside of one of the bowls of the pickled beetroot and poi. So we both need to go back and look at it.
Love that.
Where were we? Yeah, there's not actually... So actually, I was having... There isn't a lot about it in the old Barbie Wikipedia... The movie wiki.
Yeah.
The only other thing I have found is stargazers. So those big fish with electric tails are a real fish. In this film, they're kind of aping the feel from the sharks from Finding Nemo.
Yeah, they're scary. If I was a kid, I think I'd be frightened of them. I assumed they were electric eels because they just had electricity.
No, they're fish called stargazers. They do call them stargazers on it. So, firstly, I think in Finding Nemo, was the big shark that they're aping not voiced by the late Barry Humphreys, who passed away very recently? I think it was.
Whoa, interesting, yeah.
Because Australian. Yep. but stargazers are actually smaller than your hand. They're not gigantic fish like that at all. That was the other thing. But there's a lot of that. Ocean. There's a lot of that in this room. There's like these giant like seashells, like snail type shells that are three times the size of Barbie characters. And so somewhere down there, there's these giant snails. And then that reminded me of that awful. Do you remember that awful creature? That turtle thing.
Oh my god.
That still gives me nightmares.
We'd never quite beat that turtle. And in here, the dolphin is harmless. The seal, even more so. Beautiful little seal. The closest we came is one of the Justice League brought with them, almost as a homage to the past. A very pink, eyelashed, lipstick and pearl-wearing turtle that didn't say anything, but was in the background of a couple of shots. But she was a little bit unnerving. She was sort of elephant with eyelashes vibes. Nowhere near that, snail turtle boat creature from our nightmares. So we did quite well for creatures in this film.
Yeah, it wasn't, again, one of those things that can really bother me, and we've been creeped out by the sexy horses and stuff before. Yeah, you're right, I'd forgotten about that turtle character. But it doesn't say anything. It's just there in some group scenes, isn't it, when they're taking on the stargazers.
It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really talked about the story, but that, I think that's just because...
We've gone around it, I think, enough, because it's just so exciting to be back to form. Like, you can almost guess the plot because it's quite normal, but, just really well done, really well put together, and Kelly Sheridan is back as Barbie.
So was Kelly Sheridan the voice in A Mermaid Tale, then, or not? How long has she been gone?
She was the voice in A Mermaid Tale.
Right. But I think that might have been the... And then it's been like the... I mean, let's be fair. Thinking it back, yes, A Perfect Christmas was perfectly poor, but the other three movies, Fashion Fairy Tale, Fairy Secret, Princess Charm School, have actually been pretty good. So this is
high up. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a little bump, but this is a return to form. I think so. I just want to make out, it's not like we've had like two or three shit ones in a row. This is just, there was the one movie, and as a Christmas movie, you can avoid it anyway because you can watch the Christmas movies out of order. So surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Which I guess means we're going to have to think about where we're going to put it.
It's so unfair because I'm really giddy from the fact that we haven't really recorded in like 3 months.
Yeah.
This has been a solid return to form, a return to the things that we love. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And I worry I'm going to push it above its station out of my giddiness.
Well, I'm going to try and find our list.
Do you know what? I think I found our peg, and there's this peg that I have of one particular movie that I'm like, is it better than that?
Okay.
Because that's been our...
So that's our sort of our standard bearer, our tent pole.
I think so. I think because it's been here so long, so it's currently in position 8, and it's Barbie in Swan Lake. And that is obviously like the second or third movie of the entire franchise. And it's doing so well being so high up still after everything that's come after it. It's really holding on to that top 10 spot. And so you have to consider, is it better than Swan Lake? And it's nothing new. We're not seeing anything new here. But it's so gay and it's so good. And I enjoyed it so much. And that was always my reasons for Mermaidia, which is currently in spot 4.
So, I'm just going to do a bit of a resurrection. So, number 1, I think we've got Three Musketeers.
Yeah, hands
number
down.
Number 2,
Feminism
Princess
was born
that
day.
Princess and the Pauper.
Beautiful.
Part the first, and we'll be coming back to that next week.
Yes.
Fairy Secret, Mermaidia, Princess Charm School, which was both a letdown and a joy. Yep. Mariposa, Fashion Fairy Tale, and then, as you say, Swan Lake. And then
one
after
of our
that,
oldest.
It's Fairytopia, and then Magic of Pegasus.
Yeah, that's our top 10.
I think, for me, this would replace Magic of Pegasus. And that's number 10.
Okay, I think that's fair. I'm happy with that. I would...
Because I do think it... I still had some issues with this, although you've done your darndest to talk me out of it.
And I keep saying it, it's nothing new, and whilst that's not a crime...
But it's not Barbie Fairytopia. So that, to me, Fairytopia is probably the tent peg for me.
Right,
because I think that's the one where... That was the first one where I felt, actually, this is a really fucking good film on its own merits.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that it's Barbie or anything else. And you know, and it's the first one that left me wanting more. Do you remember? We wanted to, really interested what's going on with that merman and the thing that's going on.
Yes.
And, you know, and yes, it paid off in space, but it doesn't matter. It's the point that that's where the sort of universe sort of thing started.
True.
Magic of Pegasus is good.
Again, it was the one that we wanted a rewrite for, wasn't it?
It was. It just could have been better. Is that the one with like the Gargamel from the Smurfs as the bad guy?
Yeah, it's like sexy
it?
Horse and guy that has
and
like a
sexy horses.
Lives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is better than that, but I don't... For me, I've got too many issues with it for it to...
Adrian.
I'm happy to put it in the top 10.
Yep.
But I won't cry if I see it tumble out if one of the next movies beats it. Whereas I'm going to be quite upset to push any other movie out of the top 10. But it might happen.
Yeah, same, to be honest. It's so strong and it's such
and
a joy
it,
return
watched,
to form.
We've watched 23 of these buggers.
Yeah.
Right? And the fact that we're still watching ones that can claim to be a top 10.
Yeah.
It's also, I don't think we're alone in this. It's also really, you know, it's got really well reviewed everywhere I've looked.
Yeah.
It seems to be a popular one with people that grew up with it.
Yeah.
Lots of shipping going on.
Oh, so God, yeah.
I'm happy. And again, as always, I enjoyed it and was worried that you wouldn't. Which I think is usually a good sign.
I know, I was really aware. And like, it was such a joy. I think that's why I'm so giddy and why I'm so quick to be like, let's put it at number four. Because like, I was so surprised with myself at how much I enjoyed it coming off the back of the first one and coming off the back of A Perfect Christmas and not seeing a Barbie movie in 3 months. And then to sit down and watch this and be like, oh, this is everything I know and love about Barbie movies. It's William Lau, it's Kelly Sheridan. We're back, baby.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're not taking any prisoners.
No, I'm not taking any prisoners. So I'm happy. But I think, yeah, I think if I made you go back and rewatch Fairy Secret or Mariposa, I think you'd say, actually, yeah, I do remember now. They were even excellenter. So, okay, let's settle on number 10. I still think that's remarkable.